Hey everybody, it's Marcus here, and you're listening to the Good Blue Meter Radio Show. Marcus here with the Goody Reader Radio Show. It's April 21st, 2011. The artist you just listened to was a fine lad indeed, Toro Y Moi, and the title of the song was New Beat. So this week on the Goody Reader Radio Show, I'm going to be playing you a bunch of songs throughout our podcast that you probably haven't heard. They're all new singles, and I discovered it on a website called pitchfork.com. Yes, I have just discovered that site. I have heard about it for a really long time, but I finally logged into it, and I'm pretty happy that I did. There's kind of a lot of new singles by artists I never heard of, so I'm discovering lots of cool music. So in my Pitchfork journey, you all are coming for the ride with me. I wanted to start off this edition of the Goody Reader Radio Show with the BlackBerry Playbook. I've had this tablet since April 19th, which was the day it launched. and I picked mine up at about 9 a.m., and I've been playing with it ever since. So I want to kind of give you my guys' impression for you guys of the playbook. So first of all, just to give you sort of an idea, if you've never heard of the playbook or don't know any of the stats, the first time we saw this and had it in our hands was at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. It's a 7-inch capacitive touchscreen with full gesture support. And what gesture support means is that there's no actually physical buttons on the tablet. There's no... You look at a lot of Android devices, even Android phones, they all have the home screen, they have the back menu and everything. With the playbook, everything is gesture support. So you sort of swipe from off the screen on the screen, and if you do that in certain ways, it'll bring up certain menus, it'll bring up multitasking. So I kind of like it that it's based just on gestures, and I mean, you can't use the device unless you know these gestures, but when you turn on your playbook for the first time, it kind of plays you a video, and you can actually go back to it in the help menu, and it tells you all the different ways that you can swipe the device from various angles and call up various functions. So it does that in real time, so if you're in the middle of a game, you can multitask, check your email, and it's pretty quick. That's one of the kind of the cool things that I like about it, that instead of using buttons, it uses pure gestures and gestures from, you know, 180-degree swipe from one corner of the screen to another, swiping the screen from the bottom up will do different things. The display resolution that it will do on a 7-inch screen is 1024 by 600. And it has a 1 gigahertz A9 dual-core processor. It also has 1 gig of RAM. I have this 16 gig Wi-Fi model, so that's pretty well just enough for my testing and just messing around with a new gadget. The cameras on it are actually pretty good, considering that so many tablets are coming out with really crappy cameras. The Apple iPad 2 has less than a 1 megapixel camera for its front-facing camera, and its rear-facing camera is about 3. Whereas you look at the playbook, it has a back camera that will get you about 5 megapixels, and the front-facing webcam is 3 megapixels. So it certainly beats out a lot of its competition in terms of it doesn't rival a top-of-the-line smartphone with 8 to 12 to 16 megapixels, but it does the job quite well. It'll do full 1080p HD video recording and playback, so I had some Blu-ray quality movies in there, and it looked really, really good. It's also using QNX, which is a new operating system. Research in Motion purchased a company last year and got the flexible application platform. It also has support for Adobe Flash, Adobe Mobile Air, Adobe Reader, OpenGL Java, and all that type of thing. So you really get a great web experience out of the BlackBerry Playbook. And surfing the web, that's where it really shines. You can pinch and zoom, and everything is actually pinches and zooms faster and more efficient than I found in the Apple iPad. Overall web experience, it plays embedded YouTube videos, so if you're surfing blogs like ours that have a lot of videos embedded into our stories, you can just press play, you don't have to leave the site, and you can watch the videos as you would if you were using a laptop, notebook, PC, that sort of thing. You can also listen to any type of audio casts or podcasts like our own. We make it a point with the Goody Reader Radio Show to not have a Flash plug-in to alienate any devices. We have sort of podcasting software that no matter what type of device that you have, you'll be able to actually play the audio from any type of mobile phone with any type of mobile OS to any type of OS. So that's pretty standard as far as people that do radio and take it seriously, so I thought that would just bear mentioning. Overall, aesthetically, it's a really nice piano black. There really isn't a lot of ports or anything like that. There's a headphone jack. There's no SD that I can find. And there's volume keys on the top of it, but there's also software buttons that you can hit to change volume, whether you're in the music player, the video player, and so on. There's a software-driven volume button, so you don't always have to use the top buttons, and there's a power button on top, and really that's about it. So it's pretty minimalist in the ports that it has. Now, when the BlackBerry Playbook came out, it doesn't have calendar, it didn't have BlackBerry Instant Messenger, it didn't have any type of email or email enterprise, so you can't really use the heart and soul of how Research and Motion has been billing themselves all these years, is that we have the best email support, push emails, they get to your phone right away. They don't have anything like that, so the closest that you can get is by using a piece of software called Bridge. And what you really do is, if you have a BlackBerry phone with a web, with a video camera that you can scan barcodes, it gives you a custom barcode that you scan on your tablet, and it takes you to BlackBerry App World on your phone, and you install some software on your phone called Bridge. And so once you install that, it'll ask you to scan another barcode, and that sort of pairs your unique tablet with your phone. And so once you kind of go through some setups, I found the whole process took me about 10 or 20 minutes. I've never done anything like this before, so it kind of took me a bit longer on how to, you know, work out the semantics of it. But once I managed to get it done, it made a new menu on my playbook called Bridge, and it actually gave me my contacts, it gave me my address book, calendar, the web browser, and a few other things. Nothing like email or anything like that yet, unfortunately, but at least I can use a lot of apps on my playbook right off of my phone, so I can make an appointment in my calendar on my playbook and it syncs right to my phone. And so when I'm roaming about using my phone, I can do those apps. So I kind of dig that functionality about it. Overall, it's a very snappy device. Things load fine. I was multitasking playing Grand Theft Auto game, which is the only quality game that got released with the launch of the playbook, and a bunch of other things. There was really no lag, no stuttering or anything like that. I can seamlessly go from one menu to another. If there's anything that really lacks on the playbook right now, it's just the lack of content. I can't tell you how many of the... You know, as soon as you load up your playbook, you'll see Hotmail, Gmail, MSN Mail, all that type of stuff. But all they really do is their icons that basically pull up your web browser and go to yahoo.com. And you know what I mean? It's kind of like not these custom applications. It's all just, most of the stock playbook apps are just basically shortcuts to pages on the internet, including Facebook and Twitter. So you can download an official Facebook app off of the App World, but there's really no official Twitter app there yet. There's a few independent ones, but they're really not that great. So I would say the harshest downside so far was that it seemed like the playbook launched too early in terms of there's not a lot of apps at all for it. Maybe there's like less than 100 that I found, and a lot of them, you know, you have Point and you have, you know, apps like that, but a lot of the the BlackBerry phone apps haven't been converted over to the new version of App World. So there's no TSN app, there's no Thomson Reuters app, there's just lacking a lot of sort of the news and apps like that. So buyer beware that the BlackBerry Playbook tech-wise is super solid. There's just they need to release a bunch of firmware updates. And speaking of firmware updates, when I turned on my playbook for the first time, and you can see this in the unboxing video that I did that should be on our YouTube channel as you listen to this, maybe tomorrow morning or in the morning, that when you turn on for the first time, you have to jump through about 5 or 6 menus and hoops. And I kind of mentioned that there was some videos at the beginning that taught you how to use the gesture support of the playbook. You can't skip those. You have to watch these 5-minute videos, and there's no skipping ahead. And at the end of all these configuration menus that, again, most devices you can just like skip and get right to the device with the playbook, no. You're pretty well having to do everything. Like, if you don't have a Wi-Fi connection, or if there's none where you're at, you can't get past that menu and setting up the next start of a playbook. So mandatory having to do things without being able to go right into the system. That's kind of bad, and I think that could put off a lot of users. I really wanted to skip those videos, but, you know, physically you can't. You have to watch them all, and yeah, it kind of sucks. Other than that, I dig it. I mean, it's an early device. I consider myself an early adapter, so I can kind of let these sort of things go with a grain of salt, because I know that there's going to be a lot of firmware updates, and I kind of mentioned it that after all the configuration, it did download a 300 megabyte update, and I don't really know what it did, but I'm hoping that I'll see more of those more often to kind of put more functionality in the tablet. Normally when I get sort of tablets to review, I review it for maybe a few weeks, or maybe I hang on to them for a little while longer when it comes to tablets like the Motorola Zoom or the Apple iPad. I really like comparing those devices to each other, and those sort of, you know, I think the Playbook and the Samsung Galaxy Tab, I think, would make good head-to-head videos, because they're both the same size. They're both very accessible in terms of, they're very easily portable. Just to wrap it up with the Playbook, one of the cool things about it is that you do get a carrying pouch with it. So many tablets that you get do not have cases. They make you buy them extra. So it's kind of nice to have kind of a carrying case that right away I can go out and, you know, it'll protect it to some degree. So Playbook, thumbs up, but I wish I wish it didn't get released too soon. I wish it would have came out 3 or 4 months from now, but you know how it is when you're a big corporation, you have to release things in specific quarters to appease the shareholders and things like that. So I kind of know how it goes, but that doesn't make me like it anymore. Amazon reported today that they're going to be soon launching a library ebook lending service. So they're going to be kind of working with Overdrive, and for any of you people that have used your local library to take out ebooks, basically Overdrive is a system that allows you to have books be sent out to you. These books have digital rights management, so you have to use things like Adobe Digital Editions to copy them to your e-reader. Now, in the past, the Kindle has been left out because the Overdrive did not support the Mobi format, and it didn't really have a lot of Kindle support, but it did have like EPUBs and PDFs, so a large percentage of the e-readers, like the Nooks of the world or Kobos of the world, they were very easy to borrow books from the library. So Amazon worked on a deal with about 11,000 libraries just in the USA. And whether you have a Kindle or you don't, you can use the Kindle reading software that's available on iOS, Android, BlackBerry, a ton of platforms, even Kindle for PC. And so it's going to be using Amazon's own WhisperNet to actually send the books to you that you take out from the library. So this is a great move because, again, Kindle has been left out of the whole lending books through the library scene. So it's good to see that they're, you know, not forgetting about a certain demographic of people that do enjoy being lent books instead of having to buy everything. You know, not everyone has the budget to buy books whenever they want, so that's why these ebook lending service sites are doing quite well, that, you know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble have lending features on a lot of their ebooks. So if you have a Kindle and you have a friend that has a Kindle, all you need is their email address, and you can lend them most books that you've purchased from Amazon to your friend for up to about 14 days. And after that 14 days, it gets deleted on your device and it goes back to your friend. So it's a cool little system that Amazon just put out on the tail end of last year, and Barnes & Noble had it for most of 2010. So that's why these ebook lending sites are doing quite well. If you want to know more about ebook lending, we have a great guide on, firstly, how to borrow books from the library, if you never heard about it before. It's on our blog in the Best of Good e-reader section, and we have a huge tutorial on what is library lending, how do you do it, how does it work, how does the software work, and we do all of that. As well, if you want to read any of our interviews that we did with all the ebook lending clubs, we've interviewed about 3 or 4 so far, so all the major players in the game, we put a series together that We asked him a lot of questions, and we got some great sort of feedback on their business model, how they got into the game, booklending.com, eBookFling. So two really great sites that I can't speak highly enough. So just to wrap up the lending service for Kindle, there's really no word on the release date. Even in their official press release, they didn't really have much to say. Going back to BlackBerry for a second, there's some interesting news on sort of the American provider scene. A lot of the thoughts that I shared with you guys, I'm not the only one expressing them. And so the Bridge software that allowed my tablet to talk to my phone is actually being physically blocked by AT&T. So you can actually use that if you have an AT&T data plan. There are workarounds for it. So if you want to go to CrackBerry, we have a link on our front page that breaks you right to the page that is a workaround for it. So if you have a playbook, and if you have a BlackBerry Torch or Bold or any sort of the new phones like the new Curve, you can do it with your playbook with your BlackBerry phone if you do this CrackBerry workaround. And if you have a BlackBerry, if you haven't heard of CrackBerry, you're really missing out. It's a totally awesome community. So check it out. Is probably the best thing that I can suggest. In the meantime, we have a new author who's been writing for us. She's been doing articles for us for about the last week, almost on a daily basis, although she has written for us in the past on a one-off basis. Her name is Mercy, and she's a great girl who is a published author, and her book is currently on Amazon. I will endeavor to get the name for you as soon as I can. But she's written a number of great articles on digital publishing, on piracy, on how piracy affects independent authors, and how it affects the ebook ecosystem. And she really does focus on ebooks and publishing and everything like that. On a different front, we are actually looking for independent authors. If you're an independent self-published author, if you have books currently that you have published online through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Kobo, iBooks, if you're on Goodreads, if you are doing anything with any of the smaller independent ones, we want to hear from you. We're selecting specific people depending on your story. We basically want to know about your trials and tribulations in the self-publishing adventure world. And we want to sort of hear your pitfalls, your trials, your tribulations, and everything involved in your quest to become self-published. We want to talk about maybe the book that you got published. How well did you do? What would you do better? What advice can you give to other people who are thinking about doing the same thing as you? So we're going to kind of give you a varied, opinionated group of great young authors that are all publishing, and they all have great stories to tell. And we're looking for a few more, and we're going to be building a segment hopefully for next week, or if not the week after. And we're going to do an article a day talking about, it's the independent author spotlight. And if you are in the publishing industry, if you're an aspiring author, if you just want to find out, hey, what is this digital publishing thing all about that we hear about all the time, authors making tons of money selling books on Amazon with maybe some of them have experience, some of them it was their very first book, and there's a lot of intricacies in the whole realm of publishing, from marketing yourself to creating a blog community, and there's a ton of different things. We're going to talk about all of that and more during the next few weeks with our spotlight on independent authors. So if you want to get involved in this, we want you to send us an email, and you can send it to admin@goodereader.com, or you can click on the Contact Us button on our blog at goodereader.com/blog, and there's a form there, simply your name, your email, and a short message to us, and that'll automatically get dispatched to us. And we promise we will follow up and let you know about it. So there's some exciting new stories and some segments that we're working here on Good eReader that will definitely help you out if you have anything to do with publishing digitally, you're an author, or an aspiring author. So over the really the course of the last few days, there's been a lot of excitement. We just did our week in review not only 3 days ago, and since then there's just been a ton of news. iPad 2s are tremendously hard to get a hold of. Most people at Best Buy go in and find out that the store only got 3 to 4, and most people have to buy $100 gift cards just to be on the waiting list. And you don't have to go back and check in the store every day. Best Buy will actually call you when more units have arrived. But keep in mind, if you want to buy an iPad Apple 2 at Best Buy locations across the U.S., it's not enough to just throw your name in a hat and say, hey, I want this, but you actually, in a lot of cases, actually have to buy Best Buy gift cards just to show that you are serious about investing in this. So I think that's kind of wacky. I don't know what you guys think. If you want to reply on the thread on our blog, or if you want to send me an email at marcus@goodereader.com, that's M-A-R-K-U-S at goodereader.com, and I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. So basically, summing up some other news that's happened over the last few days, there's a lot of things in the Notion Inc. Atom camp, and a lot of sort of disturbing rumors and some unknowns for the future. We're going to first talk about Honeycomb on Notion Inc. Atom. It's something that has really plighted Notion Inc. as a company. They're quoting hardware-type things that are preventing them from Honeycomb being installed on Atom. And you even have websites like Notion Inc. Hacks, which is the official modding community for the Notion Inc. Atom. This site owner's putting bounties on people to, you know, to come up with something. I believe I got an email just today about the Notion Inc. kernel being leaked. So this was a guy, let me just kind of pull up the email right now, and I can kind of give you sort of the full story. So this is on, so the member, you know, hangs out on IRC with a bunch of guys, internet relay chat, real-time chatting, if you guys aren't too familiar with that. Basically a dude who's kind of didn't, he wasn't much of a huge programmer, but hung out with all these great minds, and so he came up with the kernel source and a bunch of other goodies for the entire Notion Inc. Hacks community. So I don't really know too much about it, other than it's like the GPL of it. It has a bunch of bug fixes. Many people are pretty happy about it. So it's basically like the full software kernel of it. So hopefully if you're a programmer, you know what that means. If you're not, I probably won't worry about it, because God darn it, these guys are hackers to the core, and so hopefully these guys will be able to do something with that. But yeah, I mean, it comes down to Honeycomb on the Notion Inc. Atom. It doesn't really seem to be in its cards anytime soon. Nobody really knows why. Even the CEO has chimed in on it with really nothing to avail. It's still an unknown. There's a lot of Honeycomb tablets coming out right now, which is Google's operating system specifically devised for tablets, and you see tablets like the Motorola Zoom that has Honeycomb, the new LG G Slate that also has Honeycomb, And, you know, you do see a number of tablets that are coming out now with it. So, that seems to be about it. It's really just been a few days since our week in review, but there was a lot of news today, specifically about the Kindle lending. Wanted to kind of give you my thoughts on the BlackBerry Playbook, because it just came out, and I know a lot of people are wondering if they should buy it or whether they should hold off, and, you know, people asking people's initial perspective on the device. So I kind of really just kind of wanted to break the ice, let you guys know exactly the full stories and the reason why a lot of these things work, don't work, maybe working soon, and so on. So that about does it for this episode of the Good E-Reader Radio Show. We're going to play a song to send you out. It's an artist named Frank Ocean, and the song is entitled Songs for Women.
If I was singing, cause that's what the bitches wanted. I couldn't play guitar like Van Halen. Had no secret chords like St. David. But you still came around, ate your lunch with me. Used to park your car to try the bus with me. But I would say, girl, don't be dumb. I'm riding shotgun. We could go to my house after school, after school, after school. Cause my dad don't clock off till late, off till late, off till late. We could kick it in the living room, looking through my whole vinyl collection. And you could teach me how to slow dance or something. And I'ma give you chills harmonizing the oldest eyes in my mind. And every time somebody asks me if I sing songs to get at women, I say yeah, they say no fear, no fear, but she in. I say shit, oh well, oh well. And every time a nigga asks me if I sing songs to get at women, I say yeah, they say no fair, no fair, is she in? I say, boy, don't judge, cause hell if you were me, you'll be singing to her like la-da-da-da-da, la-da-da-da-da, la-da-da-da-da. Now I'm in the lab, always working late, always sleeping past the breakfast she makes. She used to stop by, come and holla at me, put her purse down, try to battle at me. She don't do that no more, no more. To the songs I record, but she be banging that Drake in my car. I'm so far gone. She stay blasting Trey in his songs. It's like she never heard of me, heard of me. Now every time somebody asks me if I sing songs to get my women, I say no. Nah, they say okay, I don't believe it. I say no, I swear I never do it. And every time a nigga asks me if I sing songs to get at women, I say no. You say, who do you think you can? I know you, you stole my girlfriend. Yeah. Fair enough. You see, I just don't play fair. But it's fair enough, cause your girl broke my heart. Singing la da 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 about heartbreak, and now I'm singing la da 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 about love lost. Ooh, ooh, ooh,
love songs. When I try, I come to the studio, you know what I do. What you think I do it for? Huh? Yeah, But you ain't listening. Never. word. Might fuck with it. All these songs for women. Songs for women. Songs for you, baby. For you.
Everybody take care.